Blog Talk Radio.
Praise Team, join your life. We're going to do a song as a part of our worship. How many know He's wonderful? Put your hands together and sing this.
Let's take it up.
for another opportunity just to be in the presence of the Lord just one more time. We thank God for each and every one of you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank God for all that he's done, what he's still doing in our lives. So we glorify and magnify his holy name. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, now God, we just thank you once again for this opportunity just to be in your presence just one more time. Oh God, we come back to you to continue to keep us, lift us up, oh God. Continue to let your spirit flow within us, oh God. We are grateful and thankful for all that you do and what you're still doing in our lives. Now we come tonight asking you once again to give us knowledge, understanding, revelation of your word tonight. We thank you for this opportunity to come into your house and your presence just one more time to study your word on tonight. So we glorify you and we magnify your holy and divine name. This is our prayer in your darling son Jesus' name, and for his sake, every heart said amen. Amen, and we thank God for you once again, our dear brothers and sisters in Christ, for this opportunity just to be in the presence of the Lord one more time. Look, we're coming and we're going to start this year. This is our first lesson series at the beginning of this year. We want to welcome you, those of you here tonight on campus. We want to welcome those of you on our radio broadcast, Wondrous Word broadcast, and also we want to welcome those that may be viewing through our Facebook Live. We thank God for you and all that he's done and what he's still doing in our lives. We welcome you here to the Cathedral of True Praise and this Bible Enrichment Night, and we're grateful for this first lesson for this year, 2019. We've been off, and we're thanking God for allowing us to come back once again and to share the word of God with his people. But there is a lesson that he has for us on tonight. We want to go into it and see what he's saying to us. Amen. I want to go in and see what he's saying to us. We want to go to Philippians, will be our key verse, chapter and scripture of reading. Philippians chapter number 2. Amen. Philippians chapter number 2 will be our key verse we want to deal with in this particular setting, letting our light shine in this world, as we should want to let our light shine in this world. The Bible tells us to let our light shine, and we should be shining lights in this world, and this is what we want to deal with, and we want to come with tonight in this lesson, shining as lights in the world. Philippians chapter number 2. That's where we'll start at. We'll begin reading there at verse number 12. And this verse, we find out that it talks about doing everything without grumbling. We do know we have a lot of folk that complain about any and everything that they can find to complain about, talking up under their breath. But it says, let's do this without grumbling. Amen. Whatever we do, let's do it without bringing up excuses, trying to figure out why we can't do certain things. Amen. We need to do it cheerfully. Let's just read that. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I have a couple of translations here, but let me read from the New Living Translation. It says, and I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me has helped me to spread the good news for everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. It's true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know I have been appointed to defend the good news. We want to talk about in this lesson shining as lights, and we need to shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We need to shine even in a crooked and perverse generation. We need to, as believers, as the body of Christ, need to let our lights shine before men, that they may see our good works. We understand something. There's a grave concern to any thoughtful Christian as to how quickly society is changing. You ought to be concerned about some things that's happening in our society today. Come on, we ought to really be concerned, because there's a lot going on. There's a lot that's changing in our society. And we should be concerned about what's happening around us, because believe it or not, it really involves us. We have something that we need to do, and it can affect us if we don't do anything about what's happening in our society. And clearly, things are getting worse. Someone said things got to get worse before it gets better. We can see things now that are getting worse, but we're believing that we know things will get better. We do believe that things will work out. How many of you believe that? How many of you know things will work out? Things will get better. How is it going to get better? We're going to help make it better. In other words, you got to do your part to make it better. You got to do your part to make things get greater for this society. Some theologians would describe it that now we live in what they call a post-Christian culture. Post-Christian culture, in other words, simply means that the old norms once held true are no longer accepted by the majority. There were some things that folk just really believed and stood firm on, wouldn't let nobody sway them, regardless of who it was, regardless of what they had. People would not allow anybody to sway them from their belief. If they believed it was wrong, guess what? They went down believing it was wrong. They didn't switch. They didn't flip. Right in a Mississippi minute, okay, I'm with you. I'm with you now. In one moment, okay, I'm so strong. Oh, look, I'm so adamant. This is wrong. This is wrong. Now, all of a sudden, oh, okay, yeah, that's right. We'll go right along with you. When people believed something was wrong, they stood on it. If they believed something was right, what? They stood on it. They stood up for what was right. We need to understand, as body of believers, we got to be able to stand for holiness. We got to stand for righteousness. If it's right, if it's holy, if it's righteous, we got to stand our ground. We have to stand on the word of God. We got to really believe and trust. Okay, God, this word that you've given me is a true word. I'm going to stand on it because I believe you're going to do just what you said you would do. We got to know how to stand. Too many people falling for everything. They're falling for everything, falling for anything. If it sounds good, they fall for it. If it looks good, they fall for it. If it smells good, they fall for it. We got to know how to stand for what is right. And guess what? God's word is right. God's word is true. Yeah, I believe you. There's something that you know you can stand on, because it's true, it's right. Old norms once held true are no longer accepted by the majority. What are they talking about? For example, people as a majority once believed in God. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of folk that really believed in God as a majority. Huh? That the Bible was the word of God. Folk believed that. They stood on that. You know how it was coming up, you know, don't mess with that Bible. Believe that Bible. That's the word of God. Don't put nothing on it. Don't handle it any kind of way. You can't can't handle the word of God, you just can't come in and just throw it down any kind of way. No, folk really believe the Bible was the word of God, that it was something sacred about this word. It was something precious about this Bible, this word of God, that you had to handle it properly. They believed that. They believed in God. They trusted. They knew that God was going to bring them out of certain situations, regardless of how tough it may have been, regardless of how deep they may have been in something. They truly believe, if I keep on looking to the hills, cometh my help. My help is going to come from the Lord. They really believed any day now, the Lord was going to show up. You couldn't stop them from believing. I don't care how hard they had to work from sunup to sundown. They truly believed that things were going to turn around. Hang on in there. We just got a little bit more to go. A little bit more down this road. We'll finish with this road after a while, and we'll be home after a while, baby. But sooner or later, we'll get there and get you a nice meal, get you bathed up, and get you a nice rest. They believed that things were going to turn around. They believed that things were going to work out. I know we don't have much, but we're going to make do with what we got. People back in the day, they truly believed that things were going to get better. When folk thought that it was going to be over for them, you know that. So some of us understood we got this delicacy there now they call chitlins. Folk talk about, okay, they thought they was throwing you some scraps, but we turned right back around and made it work. Isn't it amazing how we know how to make things work? When people seem as though they're throwing us out and trying to tear us apart, trying to give us the lowest of lows, we still know how to make things work. How so? It's because we are believing in something. We're believing that it won't end this way. Come on. They really believed. People really, truly believed. They did. Trusted in him, even though they didn't see him. They couldn't trace him. They still trusted. That's why they used to sing the song, "Soon I'll be done with the trouble of the world," because they understood it was not going to always be like this. They believed in the word of God. When they got weak, when we got weak, we believed there was something in this word that was going to lift us up. That's what they were saying. They had a song, that backed up what they believed, backed up what they felt. Come on. A lot of times we stray away from things like that now. We don't hardly sing the songs that brought us over, that got us through some things. We're straying away from some of those things. But old school used to come in, as Elder Hill saying, "I will trust in the Lord until I die." It doesn't matter how things look in my life, what's happening around me, I'm still going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to keep on fighting. I'm not just going to give up because things don't go my way. Nowadays, people just give up when things don't go their way. I knew it wasn't going to work out. You hadn't tried. You gave up too soon. Sometimes we give up too soon. They believed in the word of God, and that Jesus was the Son of God. You will leave the church without somebody taking it to the cross. Talking about Jesus. We believe Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus, my hellhound chaser. Jesus, my midnight ride. Jesus, my hope for tomorrow. My shelter in the time of storm. We talked about Jesus. one that we needed. We believed he was the Messiah. So we let everybody know who we believed in. It didn't matter who, what nationality, what we believed in Jesus and we talked Jesus. We let the world know. In other words, we were not ashamed of this gospel of Jesus Christ. But such is no longer the case. You hardly get folk that want to talk about Jesus. You join certain organizations, you can't even say Jesus. Come on. You had folk that believed that. It didn't matter where they were. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe the Word of God. I'm going to call. I believe what it says at the name of Jesus. Y'all here tonight. Every knee shall bow. I believe that every tongue will confess that he is Lord. I believe that. And when folk believe that, they continue to teach that. They continue to preach that. They continue to witness that, that he is Lord. Yeah, he is Lord. The majority no longer accepts certain basic principles of morality taught in both the Old and the New Testament. Even ridiculing those people who do as old-fashioned and unenlightened. People will try to sway you from your belief. They're trying to tell you, yeah, you're just an old-fashioned. You're just an old fogey, you know. We've been grew up out of that stuff there, you know. We don't do that. We New Testament folk, but you don't really want to do what the New Testament tell you to do. Come on, how in the world you can talk about we New Testament now, but we still don't do what the New Testament tell us to do? Huh? We still mistreat people. Come on. We're still not obeying his command. We used to love this. People used to enjoy, watch this, going to church. People used to enjoy, going to church. They used to enjoy coming in and worshiping and praising the Almighty God. Coming up, when we was growing up, when I was growing up, my mother and everybody's mothers, they knew where we were to the extent. Look, they had to come get us out of the church. Y'all got to go to school tomorrow. Y'all can't be in here all night. I'm talking about we didn't want to leave. We was in rehearsals. We did not want to leave. We wanted to stay in the house of God because we was enjoying it. There was a time, come on now, there was a time we really didn't enjoy it now. Come on, tell the truth. There was a time we really didn't enjoy it. We come in and, we got to stay here all day. You know, we was ready to go play and do certain things. You know, we started with Sunday school. Then we had 11 o'clock service. Come on. Then we had to come back at 5 o'clock with Baptist training unit. It's called a BTC. Then watch this. We came back at 6:30 in the evening for evening service. We were in church. You can't hardly get people to come at one service nowadays. Come on. We can't get people hardly to come just for 2 hours. Because we got so much other stuff going on in our lives. Then when they get here, what time they gonna finish? That's the first thing people ask now when you invite them to come into the house of God. What time y'all get out? They wanna know what time service start, what time y'all get out, how long y'all stay in there, what time y'all get out. But them same people that you hang around, that you can go to a ball game with, and worry about what time the ball game is over. It don't matter. They know about what time the late game gonna go, so they gonna come in and they gonna stay. Come on, some gonna come early and stay the whole time. Some gonna get there and be standing in line trying to get in. But the main thing when it comes to the house of God, what time y'all gonna get out? I don't wanna go through all that other stuff. You know, I don't wanna sit through all the singing and all that other stuff. I just wanna come get me a word and then that's it. Then they leave out before the word is over with. Oh, they're too long. They've been 15 minutes now. They still up preaching. They ready to go. All this stuff is happening. This day and age, a lot of things are going on. And watch, I understand certain situations. Come on. Certain situations, but we still, watch this, we still don't cut God short. But we understand when you have mega churches, they have about three or four services. Come on, because there's a lot of people, you know, so they're still trying to get everybody in. And I understand timelines. I understand certain things, but we try to put timelines on the word. And like I say, we don't come but one time. Why? We're not the mega church. But we're doing mega ministry. We may not be the mega church, but we're doing mega ministry. But when you got that many people, thousands of people, ten thousands of people coming in and out, you're trying to keep it moving. So you're trying to get everybody in, get the service. That's why when you come in, and you don't try to quench the spirit. Come on, they don't quench the spirit. Even though we may be watching it live on television or something of that nature, it may go off the air. But who's to say they're still gone? You can't quench the spirit. When the spirit comes, come on, that service don't go. But when we come to, when we have smaller churches and we come in and folk don't want us to stay 15 to an hour, it's too long. There was a time folk didn't care how long it was. We were just ready to go have church. No longer exception. The basic principles of morality taught in both the Old and New Testament. Call people old-fashioned. That we live in a post-Christian culture. And, you know, it's true, both socially and religiously. Because socially, it's true when it comes to being socially, because we have that. We're in divorces, remarriages, folk living together without marriage. There's homosexuality, are now commonly accepted as alternative lifestyles. These things we call alternative lifestyles. Now, they are accepted. We have accepted these things. Come on, back then when they said things were wrong, it was wrong. Wrong for you to live together and you ain't married. It's wrong for you to have homosexual lifestyle. It's wrong. Now we come up with so many excuses as to why it's right. Because socially we've grown away from the right and we're considering wrong right. Alternative lifestyle. And now to the point where folk really don't even preach or teach about it. Because they want to keep those individuals in the midst, in the ministry, in the church. Look, come on. Not saying that they have to leave. We still have been commanded to preach and teach this word of God. Come on. We are to teach what's right. If they choose that particular lifestyle, that's their lifestyle that they chose. But our job is to make sure we teach what's right. We preach what's right. Yeah. It's on you. It's on you now. Religiously, we've come to grips with religiously. Come on, talking about how the woman role have took the leadership in the church. Homosexual ministers. Various forms of new age religions are now accepted by many. Folk don't like this particular ministry or religion, so we don't start our own. Now we want everybody to accept this ministry because I got upset with somebody else in this particular religion. So I'm going to start my own. So now we are accepting all these new age religions. And they're not only that, but they're persuading the body of believers to come in. I've had discussions. I've just had a discussion. A woman came in the barbershop the other day. We were talking about coming to the church and coming in together, worshiping together. And they're talking about you ain't got to go to church. You know, you're right. You don't have to go to church to get a word. But when you start looking in this word, you understand I need to be among the brothers and sisters. This is why I get refused. So I forsake not the assembling of me coming together. So now people want to come in and read this here. Well, talk about your body is the temple. So if your temple and he don't dwell in temples made by hand. Come on, y'all taking this whole thing way out of proportion. What is he really saying about this particular text, this scripture that you're trying to give me? We are the temple, true enough. Yes, we are. He don't dwell in things made by man's hand. But you won't even have your temple clean. You're not even presenting your body as a living sacrifice. So how is he going to live in there? Come on. We got to make sure this temple of ours is clean. That's what he's talking about. But I still got to come together with my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Assembling together for strength, for encouragement, to be uplifted. Then they turn around and talk about, well, I'm an Israelite. Where were you born? Because you sure wasn't born in Israel. Come on. So they try to get you, what nationality are you? I'm a black born in America. That's what I am. Because now they want you to understand and looking at you saying you're not an African American. Or whatever it is, because you weren't born in Africa. Come on. Folk try to get so deep they're ignorant. But you want to be this. But you weren't born there. You was born in the Bronx. But you had to study. Somebody had to put that in you. What we believe right now. Come on. Somebody put that in us. They put this in us. This caused us to believe. somebody else. Now they're trying to drive you out of what you believe to join them. To try to get you to see. I said, the problem is there's too many people trying to prove everybody wrong. Come on. Everybody trying to prove everybody wrong. Now, if that's what you believe, baby girl, go ahead on and believe. Because sometimes you got to know when you can't penetrate the mind of some people. But you shouldn't let that stop you from believing what you believe. That's what you believe? Look, I believe this, and not only do I believe that, but I believe that one day, that every knee gonna bow, every tongue gonna confess. You just gotta go through something that's gonna cause you to turn to disbelief. Something gonna happen in order for you to come to your grips and believe that this is the true and living God. We've accepted a whole lot of things. Homosexual ministers telling you it's all right to live the lifestyle that you live in. Come on here. Homosexuals, pastors, got men, husbands, wives, as men. And they're bold about it. They're not afraid. But we say, okay, that's all right. We've allowed these things to come in. And we'll push it right behind. To the extent that it may cause us to be curious about some stuff. Because how many of you know, those folk can persuade you that you're not who you say you are. Don't knock it before you try. Knock it. I'm going to tear it down. I'm going to blow it up. That's what they're saying. You think, don't knock it before you try. Then they start, guess what? Things start getting in the folk mind. Just like I tell them, it doesn't matter what you try to do, same sex, same problem. Folk try to run away from females and males and go with the same gender, but they still have the same problem. Let another man look at your man if you gay. What you gonna do? Let him look at somebody else. What you gonna do? Let your woman look at another woman while you're walking with her. What you gonna do? You gonna do the same thing. Come on. Let them get caught cheating on you. What you gonna do? So now because now you like men, you're a man, and your man cheating on you, you gonna stop liking men now and go back to women? You're a woman now, and your man that cheated on you, so now you're going to be with woman, so now your woman cheat on you, so now what, you're going to go back to a man now? Come on. Try to act like him, walk like him. Come on. We're mixed up in our minds. Because that be the case now. You done turned, you said you're going to be with women now. Your woman done cheated on you now. You've been through with men because he done cheated on you. Now this woman done cheated on you. So now, you through with him now? Now, where you going? I'm going to get me a dog. So now you really messed up. But you let that dog go and turn loose outside. Y'all don't want me. Come on. Let me move. Huh? Come on. We've accepted these alternative lifestyles. forms of New Age religions. We are accepting them now. How are Christians to react to this change in society? What can we do to change the direction in which our society is heading? Should we form political action communities or committees and try to change? Try to change it using organizational powers of the church? Should we resort to boycotts, picketing, or other forms of economic blackmail? Come on, what is it that we should do? How can we do this? Come on, yeah, y'all in the class. Come on. Should we go and resort to violence? Both verbal and physical, if necessary? What can we do to protect ourselves and our children? Should we simply change our views to conform to those of society? The Bible tells us, be conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world, but by the renewing of your mind. We got to live it, but we can't do the things of it. Or should we just go and isolate ourselves? A lot of folks just, I'm just going to sit right here, and believe it or not, we've been isolating ourselves. A lot of people have isolated themselves, even to the extent they don't go vote. My vote don't count anyway. What you doing? You just isolated yourself. They gonna do what they want to do anyway. It's rigged. Everything rigged now. But because we are not making a stand or standing on what we believe is right, we're allowing the wrong to creep in. And now when it creeps in, and now when it takes over, we got a whole lot to say. We have a whole lot to say. People got a lot to say when wrong comes in and takes over. But we didn't stand for what was right when we had an opportunity to stand. I believe that the scriptures provide the correct answer. In a letter written by Paul to a church which, like many others in the New Testament times, lived in a pre-Christian culture. The letter is the Epistle of the Philippians, written to Christians living in the city heavily influenced by the Roman culture with paganism and intellectualism and immorality. What Paul wrote to them is very likely the sort of things he would write today, especially the things mentioned in Philippians 2:12 through 16. This lesson is the first in a series designed to notice carefully what Paul wrote in these passages, which I believe contains guidance for Christian living in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, whether then or now, providing directions, hope, warnings, which will help us to shine as lights in the world. With this lesson, we shall simply touch upon those things that we can glean from this passage and succeeding lessons, and we will develop each point more thoroughly. For example, if we are going to shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, first of all, we must do so by working out our own salvation. You got to deal with you first. And the problem is we all too busy trying to deal with everybody else. Yes, ma'am.
Don't come, I ain't going.
is on mission. Because if your mind is on the Lord, you coming to get what's from the Lord. And although Bishop is not here, I need something to help me. Now, well, so and so ain't going, so I ain't going. Your mind ain't on the Lord. Your mind on so and so. You got something to work out on your own. Work out your own salvation. Not just work it out, but it says with fear and trembling. I'm afraid to go and do this, and I know this is wrong. Because I know there's going to be some consequences behind this if I do this, and I know it's wrong. I'm afraid the Lord going to take his anointing from me, take his gifts from me, allow me to lose these things that he's given me. See, we don't think like that. It says in fear and trembling, we need to be afraid that I got a lot to lose. We don't think like that. God allow us to get things and have things, but guess what? We can lose these things if we are not working out our own salvation. If we don't work on us, some things we can lose and some things that we've lost, but we've tried to put the blame on something else. But it was because we hadn't worked out our own salvation. Some things we hadn't worked out within ourselves that allowed us to lose something or caused us to lose something. Working out our own salvation. As Jesus put it, first remove the plank from your own eye. Let's just go there. I'll touch up on that and then we'll close out. I just want to give you a little bit. He says, first thing first, Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. I think I'm going to stop here. Matthew chapter number 7. He says, working out your own salvation. This is something we got to do. This is good gospel right here. Matthew 7, verse 1, starting at verse 1. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. Matthew 7, 1. Look how he starts. Do not judge. If you do, you're going to be judged. For in the same way you judge others, however you judge, whatever judgment you pass on others, that same judgment is going to be passed on you. You will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured with you. We forget that. We just start judging folk, and we forget that. You trying to judge somebody else, guess what? That same judgment is being passed on you. Just how you dish it out, it's going to be dished out towards you as well. Come on. So that we can't get past these things. Somebody talking about you, Somebody lied on you. You done lied on somebody. You done talked about somebody. You done mistreated somebody. You've been mistreated. So you upset because you're mistreated. But you forget, you mistreated somebody. You didn't choose somebody. Now you get used. You're upset. But you forget, you done used somebody. You done plotted. Somebody done plotted on you. Now you upset because folk plotting on you. We forget that we've done some things too. If you receive it, some folks still won't receive it when you bring it back. People do not see them being wrong. Don't see them have done something in the past. They don't see themselves doing stuff wrong. I hadn't did anything. No, that ain't me. No, yes, it is. It is. But we don't want to accept it. Because we think we're better than others. We think that we're there. I know I'm there. That ain't me. But something else is you that you've done. You ought to thank God for deliverance. So, truth be told, a lot of us have been delivered from something. I thank God for deliverance. Watch this. I thank God for continued deliverance. Because he's still continuing to deliver us from something. I might not do some of the stuff that I did, but there's still some things I need to be delivered from that God is still working on. Not only is he working on, but then there's something I got to do as well. I got to work on my own salvation. I got to work on my weaknesses. Come on. You know your weakness. You got to work on it. Not trying to work on everybody else's and forget about yours. Because you're so right and everybody's wrong. What judgment that you pass on others is going to be measured unto you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the prank in your own eye? Look what he's saying. Jesus is teaching us something here. How is it that you can see that small little beam in somebody else's eye? You can't see that big old plank in your own. We can always point out somebody else's problems, somebody else's issues, and we can't even point out our own. That's a shame that we can't realize that we have issues. Bible tells us don't think highly of ourselves. Well, you think you there, you got it? Come on, don't think highly of yourself just because you done became successful in something. Great, applaud you for your success. But don't think that make you that person now. Somebody else give you accolade. Bragging on yourself. Yeah, I did this. I did that. I accomplished this. I built this. The Bible says the old man came talking about, look, I built these barns with my own hands. Yeah, the Lord said, came and talking about, you fool, thy soul will be required of thee. You running around talking about what you done did with these hands. You fool. Your very own soul. I done had so many crops, I had to build bigger barns. I got so much stuff in my house, I had to get me a whole new room to put some stuff in. I'm going to have to add on and build me another room. I'm going to have to go upstairs now. All this stuff I got. Come on, we're bragging about the stuff that we have. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his very own soul? Now, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own? Work out your own salvation. You got so much stuff built up in you, you refuse to see the build up. You can't move because stuff is so built up in you. You can't go anywhere. But you're trying to get some specks out of somebody else's eye. Let me help you with your relationship. Come on. And you done messed up. Don't even have one. So what you're doing, you're literally teaching somebody how not to have a relationship. Because what you tell them, I wouldn't let that happen to me. I go do this. I give them a piece of my mind. They wouldn't be running over me like this here. It wouldn't be now. Okay, who you got to run over you now? So now, if I listen to you, I'm gonna be giving somebody else the same advice that you just gave me while I'm sitting in your. I'm in the same position you sitting in now, telling somebody else what I wouldn't take.
Come on,
Fish. How to handle something. But here you are. Lonely. Time you give somebody information, you go back, you crying your eyes out. But you want to be tough in front of them. Are you here? Talking about, let me take this speck out your eye when there's a big old plank in your own. What he said in verse 5, you a hypocrite. You just a hypocrite. First take that plank out of your own eye. You can't handle your own situation. How you gonna try to tell me how to handle mine? You're a big hypocrite. You trying to tell me something and you doing what you're trying to tell me not to do. You're a hypocrite. And then you will see clearly to remove the speck from somebody else's eye when you deal with your own plank. You'll realize that was just a little something small, simple. Yeah, that's just a growing pain. You understand now. That was just something you had to grow through. And it didn't last. But you're trying to give them something that's going to cause you pain for a long time. When you deal with the stuff in your life, and the weight of the world is off your shoulder, and you have peace, then you can try to help somebody else. You can't help somebody else in a situation when you're going through the same hell that they're going through and they're trying to get out of it. You ain't even got out the hell that you in right now. Could be you. Could be you. Only you. Huh? It just might be you. But you can't see your own issue because of the blank. Because of the blank, you thinking that is them. That is you. Now when you deal with you, now you can see clearly. As the song say, I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. You ought to be able to say, I can see clearly now. The plank is gone. That plank is gone now. Now I can see clearly. And sometimes we got some planks because we've allowed stuff to build up. We refuse to look at and see and acknowledge and deal with. So we allow this thing to build up. Come on. From the flip side, we've allowed some stuff. People have been showing us their true colors for years. But we've allowed this plank to build up. Huh? We refuse to accept it. Oh, no, that ain't that. And they've been really mistreating you and really using you, but you so much in love and all this stuff you've allowed to build up. You refuse to see the real signs that these individuals are no good for you. You see, you don't want to accept it, and you just want to be wanted. You want to just fit in. So you receive everything because I want to fit in with this crowd or with this clique. But every clique, every crowd, you're not supposed to be involved in. Everyone is not for you. You can't fit in into something that don't fit. You're too busy trying to put on somebody else's armor. It don't fit you. And they're laughing at you because it don't fit. You know, I can just have them do anything. Come on, I need you to go do this here for me. I need you to go there for me. And you running like a chicken with his head cut off. Trying to impress people that really don't care nothing about you. They don't care nothing about you, but you're trying to impress them. And all they're doing is using you. It's so all they're doing, getting everything they can get out of you. And when they done ran you dry, they just gonna drop you off on the side of the road. Leave you to die. Fend for yourself. Oh well, ain't nothing else I can get out you. You can't do nothing else for me. Now you're really hurt. Your self-esteem is really dropped. Now you really get to the point you want to commit suicide. You don't like anything. Heard a conversation the other day. Yesterday, a lady was telling and giving inspiration. I guess it was her son, her daughter, and somebody else, or one of the cousin, nephew, whoever it was, grandson, somebody. But it was a young man, and how he was talking about he don't go to church because he been hurt, and he don't talk to his father because his father done hurt him, and all this stuff here. And she trying to tell him, you got to forgive and let go of some stuff that I just can't forgive. I'm just happen to just sit there and they talking loud enough where I can hear. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, he's at a point in his life talking about how he can't forgive a father because the father did him wrong. Lean forward. How many people have you done wrong? Come on. I know you've done somebody wrong. You've hurt somebody. You've caused pain to your mama. You've caused pain to your family. You've caused pain for somebody. somebody, so you think they should not forgive you, not be around you. You don't want to be around him because he hurts you. So who have you hurt that now they shouldn't be around you? We forget these things because there's so much built up in our own eyes, so much hate built up, so much jealousy built up, so much envy built up. Bitterness, it's just built up. We got a lot of stuff built up that we can't see. Verse 6, and I'm done. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls or cast your pearls before swine. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Just some stuff you can't give people, because they're not going to receive it anyway. If you're not going to use this for the good, what good is it for me giving it to you? You want this anointing, but you're not going to use it right. But you're going to use it to try to tear somebody down? Don't cast your pearls before swine. So people sure enough know how to use what you say. Really, you said? Come on, you're a man of God now. You're a woman of God now. You said, come on, the Lord don't like ugly now. It's better to give than receive. I don't see you giving nothing. Come on. Don't you supposed to be a blesser? Bless me with something. Show me how to do this. Tell me how to get out of this. Then you're going to go and manipulate the fact. These things that the Lord has given you, these gifts, these talents, this anointing that the Lord has given you, you ought to consider this as great pearls. These are some pearls. I'm just not going to just handle any kind of way, to just give it out any kind of way. You're just not going to just go and just start handing people pearls because they're expensive. This anointing cost me something. Come on. I'm just not just going to start just going handing it off to anybody. It costs something. Folks can turn around and trample it up under their feet and misuse it and tear it apart. That's why the Lord chooses who he gives his anointing to. Chooses whom he allows to give his prophecies to, his gifts to, his talents to. He chooses. Because everybody can't handle them or won't use them in the right way. Some folk know how to go out and multiply. Others go back and try to bury it. God gives us something to utilize for the kingdom. And you just can't throw it off to anybody. You got to make sure what you give to folk, that they're going to take it and they're going to be a blessing in the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God keep your heaven smile upon you is our prayer. We're grateful and thankful to God for you for sharing with us tonight and giving God all the glory. You here on campus tonight, we thank God for you too, Lord. when this word broadcast, we thank God for you too. And those that was on Facebook Live, we thank God for them. Amen. God is good. God is awesome. And he's worthy of all the praise. Amen. Are we excited tonight? We're thanking God. Thank God for everything that he's done. Thank God, Sister Greta. Thank God for you. God has been great, and he's still been good and kind to us. Amen. Any announcements tonight?